Well, we are, and I'll give our media team a moment here to get to our deal. It's always a little scary. See that? Does that scare you that there's nothing on there? There it is, right there. Probably he did that because that's probably the least important information you're going to get all morning, is that right there? I did have the privilege to be the president of International Commission for a number of years. That's a story by itself, but I'm not going to bore you with it. I will simply say it allowed me to see miraculous things happen around the world. And I'll tell you a little bit about the story about how we got to just sharing Jesus here in America, but I want you to hear a little bit and see a little bit about the whole ministry in kind of a short little video. So enjoy this for just a moment.
For over 15 years, International Commission has been equipping and enabling believers of the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide to reach unbelievers and make disciples.
Sending short-term teams from the United States to partner with churches overseas in personal evangelism and supporting local churches around the world as they reach their communities and nations with the gospel.
Through our evangelism partnerships, church members around the world learn and practice Operation Andrew, a proven method of strategic prayer, relationship building, and personal evangelism to lead people in their lives to a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Church members make home visits to share the gospel with friends in simple and reproducible ways, then follow up for further prayer, evangelism, and discipleship.
This strategy without the involvement of visiting American teams, often involving more churches in their area or venturing far from home to take the gospel where Americans cannot go.
Century, International Commission partners and participants have been joining God in this miraculous work around the globe, and we will not stop.
Now, after celebrating millions of salvations around the globe,
we have brought our successful ministry model and resources back home,
offering evangelism tools and training to individuals and churches in the United States,
and organizing short-term evangelism partnerships within North America.
God knew exactly where we would be at this moment 50 years into IC's ministry. Now, whether across the sea or across the street,
join us
as we strive toward the Great Commission goal of reaching every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, that's a little bit of who we are. And the three people that are with you today are just part of a team, and I actually forgot to look again. Is it 28 of us? I think it's 28. All over the Biloxi Baptist Association area. And this conversation began several years ago. It actually began before the pandemic to talk about coming and partnering with you. This is a ministry with you, not a ministry for you or even to you, though we hope that happens as well. It's a ministry along with you. My wife, Sherry, that you saw just a moment ago, Jeanette Sterrett is from Magnolia, Texas. We have had a wonderful group of folks coming from that area for many, many, many years. And we just are looking forward to what God's going to do in our time together this week. And I want to tell you a little bit, very little bit about me, the history. I love, first of all, and I mean this, I love being in church, especially being in a new church to us, because the church is where so many of my best memories were made. Now, there was a Christian Baptist humorist named Brady Nutt, who once upon a time said, I came up in a time when Baptists felt like if they could keep you at church, you wouldn't have time to sin. Grady said, "Well, I saw I just wanted to send a church." Probably that's the case for me because I grew up in the church. My dad was one of the first music ministers in the Southern Baptist Convention. I loved every minute. Well, maybe not every minute because I probably did get into trouble many times. Those times when we took, don't you ever do this, kids, when we were asked to take the plates of bread and the juice back to the kitchen, I really don't know how some of that bread didn't make it there. I don't know how that happened. But I have loved being in churches throughout my life, and we are so glad to be here with you today. And as you saw on the first slide, I said I just retired in December as president of the IC, but Sherry and I and Jeanette and I we're all here today, this week, doing what this ministry has done for a long time. Sherry and I will have the privilege of leading the team to London in July, and that happened back last year when they were making the plans. I want to ask you to pray about that. The other continent that is the most difficult to share the gospel is Western Europe. Guess what the first one is? This one right here. Why? For some of the same reason, because it's the most affluent places on the planet. It's also places where, in their case, they said, "Oh, we've done Jesus for a long time. We started the church around here. We don't need him anymore." They also were worshiping not like this. They were worshiping in big old buildings that were cold and had big high seats. In fact, we had an exchange student from Germany, and that was exactly her testimony. Their parents didn't go to church because it was just boring. I'm glad to say that that's not where we are today, and that's not where we find ourselves in America now with the energy of worship back here. Guys, I want to say thank you. I love your worship this morning because it's so much a part of me. I, too, spent a lot of years as a minister of music, a worship pastor, and just love being in the presence of people who are worshiping God. I want to tell you something else. We're also, by the way, we're also going to have ask you to pray, opportunity to co-lead the team that will be going to Chile in November. An interesting little twist to that, the place of where we were going, and where we are going, the vicinity of Valparaiso and Viña del Mar. You've heard of the big forest fires in California. They had a huge one early in the year, wiped out the church, the main church that's our host, and wiped out the home of our main pastor host, who has been our pastor there for a long time. And he said immediately, I mean within the week, he said, "Nope, we're not canceling. This is an even greater opportunity for us to share the glory of God." So pray for that if you would. That's in November. And just so you know, it's not made up. My own personal affinity for smaller farm communities. I just sold my grandfather's farms in West Texas about 18 months ago after my mom passed away. It was not easy. She fully expected us to keep those farms forever, but we were not near. But I loved the time. I can still smell the smells of being at their home and being in those communities. She grew up in a small town called McAdoo, which in its heyday boasted about 250 to 300 people. I always marveled. She said, "Yeah, we had two general stores and we had two gas stations." And I'm going, "What did you do? Just go to one every other day?" I mean, anyway. But just like so many of those towns, there was a Baptist church, there was a Methodist church across the gravel road, and there was a Church of Christ next door to the Methodist church. And I was wondering, why are they all here? Well, maybe one of the reasons was my mom's dad was a Methodist, and so she was sprinkled as a young child. And her mom was a Baptist, and so when she accepted Jesus, she was immersed. By the way, that same humorous once upon a time, Brady Nutt said, he talked about the Methodist having a little cup of water, they could hold a whole revival with that. But that's not what baptism is. But Brady said, baptism means hold them under until they bubble. So we Baptists believe in a thoroughly baptized, so she was. More later about my own upbringing and how that kind of plays into what we're doing here. This morning I want to speak on the topic, act like Andrew, looking at a crucial story toward the end of chapter 1 of John's Gospel. So if you want to turn there, we're going to see it here in just a moment. We're going to be talking in John 1, 35 through 42. And Jesus began his public ministry on earth. He called his disciples and he commissioned to reach others. And those who were saved reached others and discipled them. Furthermore, those who were saved reached others and discipled them. And what do you get the idea? It just kept going. I heard that being talked about this morning in Sunday school class. Exactly, it's that idea, right, brother? It all began when a man named Andrew became a follower of Christ at the time of Jesus' baptism. He didn't take long. He went immediately and he went to tell someone, and we know who he told. Let me read these first few verses for you in John 1, beginning with verse 35. The next day again, John, and of course this is John the Baptist, was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. In the next few verses there, one of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. Don't miss this. What did he do? Andrew immediately did something that should be the desire, the passion of true followers of Christ. He went to tell someone about Jesus. In his case, it was his brother, Simon Peter, who became a little bit famous. He didn't just tell his brother about Jesus, though. What did he do? He brought him to Jesus. That's the whole idea of this Operation Andrew thing. It's bringing people. It's going and sharing the gospel in their homes. We'll talk about, well, sometimes that's difficult. We'll talk about that in just a moment. You know, Andrew is, as you know, not one of the best known or most loved disciples until maybe recently with Joseph. We get to know those guys a little differently, and yeah, I get it. Not everything in there is straight out of Scripture, but I think one of the things they've done is they've kind of given us a little bit of personality, the disciples that we read about. We just, the other day, Sherry and I had the opportunity to just kind of walk through the Capernaum Studios thing up between Peaster and Poolville. That was kind of cool. Go do that if you want to. That's free. That's a commercial that I don't get paid for. You know, many present-day Christians probably name Peter as the best known, perhaps the best loved of all the disciples, but you really might say that were it not for Andrew's actions, we might never have known Peter. We might never have known the gospel. Next slide, guys. You know, I don't think it's just a coincidence that this was the passage for the Bible study this morning. Next one. There we go. It is, in fact, called the Great Commission. The Christian in the 21st century, though, tends to think mostly of the personal benefit, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, I don't know how long it's going to last. And those benefits have been numerous, especially in the U.S., like connecting with other Christians, often resulting in meaningful, caring relationships. That's what this group is about in many ways. Bible says in small groups, the urge is on our Christian growth. I love being with the men for a few minutes this morning and hearing that you were in the Great Commission and saying it's not just something to look at, it's something to do. Great worship and great preaching. Of course, you may not say that this morning's preaching goes along with that, but that's another issue. And those are all good things, of course, that we do in the church. But Jesus was preparing his disciples for the ultimate challenging kingdom service. We look now and go, yeah, we get it. We can see the chosen and see all that. But they had no idea what they were up against, folks, in a place that was not exactly friendly to what they were going to be telling about. He said in the Great Commission, go and to all the world and make disciples. And then in Acts 1:8, we read that he told them just before his ascension, what? You mentioned this again this morning in the lesson. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. You know, 51 years ago, as you heard in our next slide, as you heard in the video, a little over 50 years ago, with these two biblical mandates in mind, the Great Commission and Acts 1:8, Ben Meath, who at the time was a West Texas cotton farmer, but he grew up right here in Hood County and lives near near Glen Rose to this day, goes to First Baptist Church of Glen Rose. His pastor, Gene Hawkins, at First Baptist Church of Seminole, and other godly men decided when Gene said, well, if it will save some, we're going to do it. That was his quote, and they were talking about, should this be just of our church, or should this be given to all the churches to participate in? And from one ministry partnership in 1973 in Chihuahua, Mexico, and there's a story behind that that I can't spend the time this morning, but it was miraculous in and of itself. They showed up on a Wednesday night from Mexico to say, we want you to come. They weren't expecting them. From that one partnership in 1973 to now seeing God's hand in ministry in over 190 nations, this mission statement has been the guiding principle. You may not be able to see it. Let me read it for you. Equipping and enabling believers of the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide by partnering with local churches in evangelism to share his gospel with unbelievers and make disciples. Some call evangelism that some do helicopter evangelism. That's not what it's about. We don't plop in and drop in and say, we'll do our thing and bye, good luck. We don't go unless we're asked by churches and make sure that they are ready to disciple, because that's, of course, what the Great Commission says to do. You know, Jesus' plan for sharing his gospel message was through the church and individual Christians in his church. It's not just his job. It's our job to do that. You know, that's his number one plan. That's his number one evangelism strategy. Guess what? There's no number two. That's it. Next slide. Beginning with that one team that became two and ultimately many more on every continent, you saw, we use the phrase God knew, Ben's favorite, God knew what was going to be needed. You saw in the video, teams of Americans continue to go to nations all over the globe. Here are the global opportunities this year to be a part of a tremendous prayer-covered partnership with IC. Watch these. Maybe you want to go. Here's the next one. There's a video. And I said, it's with nationals, it's not for nationals, that's what we call it. Short-term trips, sharing the gospel with nationals. You know, we want you to go. We would love for you to go. Not only is the evangelism that accomplished on every one of these trips a kingdom-building exercise in and of itself, they also provide on-the-job training for everyone that's involved, including the nationals, who then have taken the model and do it on their own in neighboring neighborhoods. This began in the 90s when we couldn't go to a couple of countries, and they said, please don't cancel, let us do it on our own. And now, miraculously, there are over 400 of those weeks like this week around the globe that they do on their own, called National to Nationals. It's grown dramatically from one team in Mexico, now in over 190 nations, as I said. And this is not bragging on us. Please understand, this is a small footprint ministry with a small budget compared to so many. Over 30 million decisions for Christ have been made through international mission partnerships around the world. And we're part of that already. We heard this morning that already 22 people, just in a couple of things that we did on Friday night and Saturday, 22 people have prayed to receive Christ already. Next. Our founder's favorite two-word phrase is God knew. You've heard me mention it. Over all of these many years, there have been many testimonies about God's incredible faithfulness and his direction. But I believe, and this is personal, none clearer than I experienced on the Friday of the first week of the global pandemic in March 2020. As I sat in my office and I looked upward, this hasn't happened a lot in my years, folks, and I said, oh my goodness, God, what do we do and what do we learn? We're a global traveling ministry. It was obvious we weren't going to be able to travel anywhere, and we did not. For just barely at the end of 2020 did we have one team go. The national to nationals were not able to do all that they did, but I am so glad to tell you that even in that year, in the previous years, we had about 3.4 million decisions for Christ each of those years. They still had 750,000 decisions for Christ on the field because they were just sharing in their communities. But one of the do's that that God said is to share all of these methods of evangelism that God has allowed us to use all of these years and going forth, and to participate in evangelism training. It's been advertised. That's what we're going to do at lunchtime today. We hope you can come and just see a little hint of what that is like. But answers to both what do we do and what do we learn are found in that same Acts 1:8 passage, and it's in those words that I highlighted. God said, you know, IC has done pretty well in Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. How about Jerusalem and Judea? So that's what we did. We began to do what we have done around the world in communities like yours. Clearly, he said, do it here. You know, you may have noticed in the very short trip list earlier, there were two North America trips. One of those was part of the first. One of those was the first that we did in Missouri, another here this week, and we would love to have you be a part of that. I have learned a lot over the last several years, folks. I didn't come there as the most brilliant global missional person on the planet. Prepared to learn in that kind of role, then you're in trouble. But I did learn something as I sat down my first day at IC. I didn't realize I knew about IC, but I did. In fact, one of my dad's youngest cousins went on my very first team. I didn't know that. She was from Lubbock. But I began to look at it and say, oh my goodness, this Operation Andrew process, which we were given permission to use, have been since 1975, from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, is all about building relationships, praying intentionally, and going. Yeah, I've been around a lot in the last several years. Some would say this nation is on the brink of either the greatest failure of Christianity, or what I choose to believe may be the third great awakening. I really think that's possible. The movement we saw last year, for example, at Asbury University, a small town in Kentucky, it spawned similar revival-like outbreaks all across campuses across America and literally around the world. The movie Jesus Revolution, which highlighted what happened in a place in California when people were going, man, what's going on here? What's wrong? Instead of staying inside the church, they took the gospel outside of the church. They allowed music to be part of the impetus for going. But they weren't just taking music. They were taking the gospel to the people in a difficult spot. Let me tell you some things, though. In October 2022, research by the Barna Group, and you've heard of them before, I'm sure, reveals some encouraging trends. First, the good news. Recent data, they say, shows that Americans are trending towards spiritual openness. That's true. Particularly in younger generations. And people are saying, oh, there's less and less Christians. There are. There are less and less Christians among younger generations, but so many of them have never had any contact with Jesus or the gospel. They are ready to hear. There was a catchphrase back in the 90s and the early 2000s where we kept talking about seekers. A lady wrote a book, and some of them were, you know, she said, well, what are they seeking? They're seeking Jesus. They might show up in your church, but they might not. Go tell them. Barna research shows that 3 out of 4 U.S. adults, 74%, say they want to grow spiritually. It's good news. Additionally, the same proportion say they believe in a higher power. Nearly half say they're more open to God today than before the pandemic. But here's the not-so-good news. According to research conducted by Lifeway, in 2023, only 3 in 10 unchurched Americans, 29%, say a Christian has ever shared with them one-on-one how a person can become Christian. Only slightly more say a Christian has told them about the benefits of participating in a local church or the benefits of becoming a Christian. I talked about earlier. But let's go back for just one moment to that last statement of the good statistics. Nearly half say they are more open to God today than before the pandemic. I saw it. I'm sure you saw it. Thousands of Christians, faithful church-going Christians, missed their sense of community during the pandemic. And the society in general began to have a sense of need for a real spiritual connection. It doesn't matter the size of your community. That's going on. We need each other to not just come together for a holy huddle, as one Christian humorist, Brady Nutt, would say, but to pray for boldness and commit to sharing the gospel in conversations wherever and whenever we can. One cannot read Luke 15 without seeing the nature of Jesus and his love for that which is lost. We're not going to read it today, but I encourage you to read it maybe later today. Jesus, in that great chapter, talked about three things. He talked about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. In each case, there's a search, a discovery, and finally a bringing in of that which had been lost. He's not necessarily talking about bringing them into a building. It's talking about bringing them into a relationship. Afterward, joy and celebration was experienced because that which was lost was brought to safety and security. Jesus was revealing his love for the lost in Luke 15, and he was showing believers how to regain the joy of the Christian life. You know, that's something that we all need, is joyful Christian life. Again, I said, thank you for being joyful this morning. More church problems will be solved through that process than all the study teams that the Christians can form. In many nations, our own included, the modern Christian body has lost something of the Andrew passion for bringing people. You know, Andrew found Christ, and he wanted those whom he knew and loved to know Christ as well. When you read the book of Acts, you see how the church grew, not by addition, but by multiplication. You can't reach individually. You can't reach individually everybody in this community. Keep it up and encourage each other. Let's back up for just a moment and see with Andrew what happened. Next slide. And Andrew was present the day John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." He immediately believed on Jesus and followed him. That day, Andrew had made the most important decision a person can ever make. He placed his faith in Jesus Christ. And if you have not made that decision, trust me, it will rock your world. It's not about showing up at church. You know, I used to say, I give a quick little illustration. You can stand on that parking lot out there, but it does not make you a car. You can do all the time you want to do in church, and to what Greg used to say. But it's about a personal relationship. Andrew was not satisfied, however, to have something as wonderful as the Bible says, a friend closer than a brother, and not share that friend with someone who he knew and loved. He immediately went to his own familial, his own earthly brother, Simon Peter. He told him he found the Messiah, and then he did something else. Like I said, he brought him to Jesus. You just didn't talk about it. Andrew did not just tell Simon about it. He took him to Jesus. You know, to complete the plan that Jesus set forth to reach the world for Christ, we must become bringers like Andrew, whether in our own neighborhood or halfway around the world. You've seen these little cards that have been passed out. They've been on your tables. You know, it's about writing down names. I'm going to tell you, folks, it works. Very fast little story. And a funny one. Sherry and I, when we went to Albania, the first person that we shared with, it was a female, so Sherry did the talking. And I had been to Albania really about 20 years before that. It's a little interesting fact that Sherry's going down. We have a little threefold. We share our testimony with them, and there's some gospel questions, 10 questions. So it appeared the lady was kind of, you know, sort of passive, but let's go ahead and share the question, see what she says. It just begins simply with, "Do you believe in God? Do you believe that Jesus is God's son, et cetera, et cetera?" And she just is sitting there quietly doing this. And Sherry went on down with this. She's just doing this. But she had kind of a smile on her face. And all of a sudden I realized, uh-oh, I forgot to remind Sherry of something. In Albania, this is you. No. And this is yes. She was saying yes to every question. Pardon me, dear, but not because Sherry is such a great expositor of God's word. She makes it real. But because that lady had been prayed for all of those months, and she was ready to hear the gospel. I'll tell you honestly. I told you before my upbringing in church. It's difficult sometimes for us in America. I went to a Christian university, worked in Christian organizations, worked in a Christian, worked at that Christian university. I actually worked early on in the Christian recording industry and in full-time church ministry. And then, as you know, in world evangelism, all my life, it's been a little hard sometimes for me to say, now, where are my non-Christian friends? Because I don't work around them. You have to be intentional. And just so you know, I told you before, I understand the challenge. Sometimes in smaller farming communities, I don't know somebody and they're way off the road and I can't go knock on their door. I'm not asking you necessarily just to go knock on every door. That can be done. I am asking you to look for every opportunity to pray for them and build a relationship and let the Holy Spirit do the work. You know, I am a musician. And when I was working for Sparrow, I had the privilege of getting to know Steve Green. And the song that he sang that so many people heard was a song called People Need the Lord. The words, I can quote them still. Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. You gotta look for it. You have to be ready to look for it. Next slide. You know, invariably the conversation comes down to some version of these statements, and we're going to talk about these later a little bit in the training. First, I don't know what to say. I feel awkward. I'm afraid to talk to strangers. Well, there may not be a lot of strangers in life then, but what about when you go to the store in Cranberry or wherever you go? Next, they will say something I cannot refute. We'll talk about that at length in there just a little bit. They're smart. I'm afraid of rejection or hostility or confrontation. You want to be received and loved and with open arms, but sometimes those conversations are not going to go like that, but you just not do it. I've heard several illustrations, but one is if you get out, you go to your car, it won't turn over, is it okay? And of course now a lot of us work at home, but sometimes this doesn't work quite as well anymore. But is it okay to just say, all right, the car wins, I'm not going, goodbye. I'm going back in the house. No, you know it's not. You figure out a way to get through that. And finally, one that's so often said is I'm not gifted in evangelism. Next slide. We address every one of those fears in this training course that we'll kind of just give you a little hint today. Several methods are there to share the gospel and taught in this course, but Operation Andrew is the overarching process. So I want you to read these two quotes if you can see them. I'm sorry, I didn't know what kind of distance we have. And if you can read these, here's one from somebody that a lot of people know, A.W. Tozier. Read it with me. God is looking for people through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only the things we can do by ourselves. Another lesser known theologian, writer, Theodore Williams of India says, we face a humanity that is too precious to neglect. We know a remedy for the ills of the world too wonderful to withhold. We have a Christ too glorious to hide. We have an adventure that is too thrilling to miss. We can't keep it inside and just have it be ours next. Let's look one more time at this statement. You will receive power. Heard it, I'm sure, from your pastor and others. That's a Greek word, dunamis. It's the root for dynamite, dynamic. And the Holy Spirit comes alongside. You're not doing this alone. In fact, part of his name is the helper, the one who comes alongside. You know, the same writer, Luke, brought to us this clear statement from Jesus in chapter 19 of his gospel. He said, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save. But physically, he's not here anymore. What does that mean? We have to go back to that commission for each one of us. You know, we're not alone, but we must accept his call, his commission. It's really up to each one of us. Briefly, see what the experience, if you can kind of turn the sound up just a little bit, maybe, see the experience of this Chinese young man that he has encountered with Nicene.
After meeting you guys, International Commission, our thoughts, especially my thoughts, was totally changed. I was very inspired from your passion to love God. passion to share Jesus to people who don't know the Jesus. I'm a university student. In my school, there are a lot of non-Christians. I didn't try to share Jesus because I thought that someday someone will help them to know Jesus. After meeting you guys, the someone is me.
Someone is me. What about you? Before I come up and let you close the service. What about you? Have you allowed the enemy to say, no, you can't. You're not an evangelist. You're not great. You don't like talking to strangers. Whatever. Would we be sitting here, the disciples, at all seven? No. I just ask you to think. God has given you the power through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Respond to His call and do His bidding.
God knew. You know, we were here today, and we could have been somewhere else. God knew we were going to be here. What we have to do is we have to get out there and not sit in here. I said a few weeks ago, we can't be a cruise ship. We've got to be a hospital ship. We've got to take what this world needs to this world. And that's the job that we've been left with. You know, right now is the time for us to make our decisions. Maybe today you just need to pray. The altar is open. I'll pray with you. Maybe you want to serve in missions or ministry. Maybe you want to join this church membership. Maybe this morning, though, maybe you've never known Jesus. Maybe you haven't taken that step. Maybe you have sat in church your entire life and never have taken a step to say, I really want to know Him. I've played the games. I've checked all the boxes. But now I need to have that relationship. Now it's not hard. You walk the aisle and Brother Troy, I want to know Jesus. And we'll go from there. Or wherever you're at this morning, whatever you need, give it to Him. Let's pray. Father God, we come to You right now and we thank You. We praise You for Your blessings.